listening to Golden State of Mindcast. Ivan here with Bram. Nate's going to be joining us shortly. You can hear in the background, maybe, and I'll turn it on mute in a second. We are recording during the NBA draft of 2017. Adam Silver is about to put the Philadelphia 76ers on the clock. Bram, what are you thinking about this draft? And I know you were about to say something as soon as I started talking, so...
Oh, no, we were just talking about how crazy New Yorkers are, where they were just reading off the names of people who have been drafted in the past, just like random players, like, drafted at number 11, Klay Thompson, boo!
I love it. It's so great. I've been living in New York now for 8 months or whatever, and haven't, like, encountered...
8 months?
I think so. God. I know, it's crazy.
Oh, my.
I haven't encountered, like, that much crazy New York basketball sports fandom, and I would like to encounter more, because whenever you see things like this, it's like, I love the just, like, the passion for no good reason. Like, what? Why are you...
Well, they have a lot of reasons to be salty right now. Well, I mean, Phil Jackson is basically taking their franchise and taking it from the bottom of the ocean into... The theremin gap, what do they call it? What's the name of that? The lowest point in the world? It's definitely not the theremin gap.
No, that sounds like something musical to me.
No, well, a theremin is a musical instrument made by aliens. But no, anyways, he took the submarine and he jammed it into the core of the earth and where it exploded. And the Knicks are just, they're trying really hard, but they're trying really hard to be the most dysfunctional franchise in the entire league. And, you know, I applaud them for that. I feel like it's at this point, it's almost like aggressive New York City, like pseudo dramatic comedy art that will never be replicated again in our lifetimes, just in its scope of ferocity and just horribleness.
We are now joined by Nate Parham, who tuned in right in time to hear a classic Bram soliloquy on state of things. But it's pretty accurate in this case, with the nonsense that is Phil Jackson and the Knicks. I mean, what do you guys think? Like, do you think that they will end up trading Porzingis, or is this, I mean, it's clearly not like a move. He's not being smart. It's not like, we're tricking people into something else. He's just like being an idiot. Like, but does he have to trade him at this point? Is it too late? They're too far down that path.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I think this could all be a huge game. And look, because I think part of it is because I can't wrap my head around trading Porzingis. I'm really struggling with that. That's like opposed to everything everyone stands for in the NBA right now. But also, he could just be doing. Look, I mean, he said he's looking at what offers he can get for him. And if he finds that he doesn't get anything for him, fine. Brings him back and tells Porzingis, you're expendable. It is just a big mind game for Phil Jackson.
But it's so like for whom? Like, is he? How does this benefit him with Porzingis?
It
like,
doesn't. Like, how does anything he's done benefit him?
I don't know. I hate to say it. Like, he just might be, you know, either on the edge of senility or over the edge. I mean, it's, you know, and if so, you know, like, I wish him and his family the best of luck. But maybe he should be doing his job. If like this is the point that we're at, it's not something today, although I don't know how accurate this was, but something about people that were being worked out at the Knicks facility saying that he was just falling asleep during
workouts. I just want to say real quick, so we're about to have a pick, but also Zach Lowe just tweeted, whoa, that the Wolves are close to acquiring Jimmy Butler from Chicago.
Wow, the Wolves.
Whoa. Yeah.
Huh.
But here comes the selection. We're doing this in real time, but we're going to post it tomorrow, which is kind of hilarious. So Markel Fultz.
Yeah, I think your feed is a little later than mine, but it's just by a few seconds. Okay. We're good. It's Fultz. There is no surprise here at all. What do you guys think of that trade? Of course, the 76ers sending the number 3 and a future to the Boston Celtics for the number 1 so that they could get Markel Fultz. Nate, how do you think this makes sense for the Sixers and the Celtics, or is it just like it's preposterous?
I mean, this is one of those where we're not going to be able to evaluate until 2-3 years down the line. We see one who the Celtics draft in 2 Fultz turns out. But, you know, we were talking about this in our Slack room, and I tend to believe that this is a matter of there being something about Fultz that we don't know, that the Boston Celtics, that made Boston Celtics nervous. And I mean, I hate to diss a kid like this, but maybe it's possible he's just not as good as everyone thinks he is. I don't know. I can't think of any other explanation for why the Celtics would do that, because it seemed like he was such a perfect fit for what they need. I know Celtics fans were excited by him, like when they got that pick. So,
So you think he would have been somebody that they'd fit right in next to Isaiah Thomas?
I think he'd be a really good fit for them.
Well, they actually said that they would play well together because, again, they're homies. And Isaiah Thomas, if you remember, actually went to University of Washington.
Yeah.
So Isaiah Thomas has been around Fultz since early in the recruiting process.
Yep.
And then also like during the year, and they were actually excited to play with one another. And that's the other thing, is that Ben Simmons is the nominal point guard, right? So they're even getting Fultz to kind of play off ball.
Yeah.
So I mean,
you're talking about that's not necessarily true. David Aldridge made a good point on NBA TV last night. Actually, I got really excited about the draft like just 2 days ago. But anyway,
right in time for this pod.
He made a good point. If this is a pick and roll league, yes, the Sixers are talking about running Simmons and as the point guard. But in the end, if you have a choice between Fultz, who can shoot, and Simmons, who really can't consistently, you're probably going to go with Fultz handling the ball and running those pick and rolls.
Right.
So Simmons now like moving more off the ball and being more of a Draymond Green type facilitator player.
Totally. But I think that we've seen the Warriors sort of and really beginning with the Miami Heat playing positionless basketball, where they had, you know, three or four guys who could really handle the ball, and it didn't really matter who was bringing it up. And you see LeBron James acting as the nominal point guard most of the time in some of those sets, you know. And then this last 3 years with the Warriors as well, where, you know, Steph brings up the ball, sometimes Klay brings up the ball. Honestly, Durant and Green can all bring up the ball too. So I think Philadelphia is really going with the idea that they just want to have as many facilitators, and honestly, they just want to have as many superstars level players as possible, because there's nothing that translates in this league quite just like, I mean, honestly, the level players, you know, I mean, you can have whatever scheme you want, but if you don't have the players, you're coming from behind.
I do think that, I mean, it's great that Embiid is the center there, because he does have some range. He can definitely cover ground, but they're going to have more shooters around Simmons, because if he's not on the ball, the people are just going to leave him, right? And help off of him. And he's such a good passer that might be fine, because when somebody does get it to him, even if he's wide open, he probably find a way to drive in and draw some help. But
that's kind of my guess with him. That it's not going to matter quite as much as people are making it.
Well, we'll see. We were watching him in summer league. It was crazy, because they were already defending him like that, and somehow he would just like drive in, and suddenly two guys would be on him, and he would make this crazy like behind the back bounce pass. Yeah. And you're like,
dude, that's crazy court vision. Just he has a beautiful feel for the game. And I think Fultz says too. I think it's great for the Sixers, right? I think the Sixers can't lose here. I think the bigger question is, will the Celtics regret passing on Fultz? But I really like Josh Jackson too. I've been watching that guy. He's like a crazy freak athlete. So if that's who they end up with, this works out for them quite well.
Right. And then the other theory was that they knew that they were going to trade or were trying to trade one of those, you know, their number one pick, or a high pick for a Jimmy Butler or for a Paul George.
Correct.
And so maybe you don't need to have the number one for that. The number three gets it done. So then you turn that into some value. So if that's what happens, it's great.
Wojnarowski just tweeted, Chicago is finalizing a deal to send Jimmy Butler to Minnesota for Zach LaVine, Chris Dunn, and number 7 pick, league source says. Wojbomb. You know, he should sign his own tweets.
Can you say that deal one more time?
So Chicago is finalizing a deal to send Jimmy Butler to Minnesota for Zach LaVine, Chris Dunn, and the number 7 pick. Which is funny, because I was at the draft last year, and I remember all the chatter was that Minnesota almost traded that pick, the number 5 pick, Chris Dunn, for Jimmy Butler, which I think that they could have done. And I don't think that it would have, I don't think Chicago would have drafted Chris Dunn, but instead they drafted Chris Dunn. And
you're
so they could have kept LaVine and done it a year earlier. Instead, they thought Chris Dunn was that player, and he obviously wasn't. And now it seems like they might be moving on from Ricky Rubio as well. So I don't know. I mean, Minnesota now doesn't have a point guard. So do we see them try to buy back into the first round somehow to get a point guard in this point guard heavy draft? It's lots of weird things are happening.
Hmm. Well, first of all, I mean, we don't know for sure if that was the fullness of that trade offer, right, from last year, the fifth.
No, I was not sitting in the room with in the phone conversation.
Because I mean, I think even last year, Butler was good enough that maybe that wouldn't have got it done, but I don't know, maybe not.
No, I'm sure it was like a fifth and a future first or something.
The other weird thing here is, LaVine is coming off of an ACL.
Right.
So modern technology is probably going to be fine, but like he's, you know, his game right now is his bounce and his 3-point shot. But there is a little bit of risk there inherent in it. The number 7 pick too, though.
Yeah. And the number 7.
Yeah. That's wild. So the Lakers are on the clock now, on my screen at least, Adam Silver is announcing their selection. Of course, I have it on mute, so I'm going to try to read his lips. But I think we all knew who he was going to pick. The Magic Johnson-led Los Angeles Lakers go with Lonzo Ball. His dad is already going crazy there. he was already interviewed pre-countdown. And was yelling very strange things about God and Zeus.
I watched that. It was disturbing.
Also, this big baller brand tie that he's wearing, it's got like, it's almost like a holographic. It's all kind of shiny and like playing tricks on my mind here. But so Lonzo Ball, Lakers, like this is kind of what everybody expected. And the Lakers themselves just made a big trade yesterday. Sending D'Angelo Russell and Timofey Mozgov to the Nets for Brook Lopez and the number 27, I think, is what they had. I don't think the trade's been finalized yet, but ostensibly making room for Ball without having Russell is this kind of potential or inevitable malcontent. I don't know.
Or current malcontent.
So yeah. I think among us three, Nate has been the biggest proponent of D'Angelo Russell. What do you make of this trade? Is this crazy for the Lakers, or is it make sense on both sides?
I was really interested to see how D'Angelo Russell would look next to Lonzo Ball as a more of a scoring guard. Obviously, I'm disappointed. I thought D'Angelo Russell had a shot in this league. I still think he does. I don't think his career is over. It's way too early to call him a bust. I was listening to the Positive Residual on Twitter. I had this little 3-minute like audio segment about D'Angelo Russell and his improvement over his second and first year, and how Byron Scott held him back. He got a new coach his second year. But his numbers were actually kind of encouraging in terms of assist percentages, usage rates. He did more and did it about the same in his efficiency save flat. That's actually a pretty good sign. So I kind of hope that a change of scenery will be good. I also hope he takes this as an omen that if he doesn't get himself together, the league is awfully harsh. You get shipped to Brooklyn at any time.
Hey man, at least he didn't get shipped to Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, I mean, that would have been worse for him. Yeah. I think you know, we'll see what happens. He's next to Jeremy Lin now.
And do you think they're going to play him side by side, or
I have no idea how they're going to play the two of them. I think it's interesting. I don't know. It's just a
Lin is
I think
on
when
a,
we have to do it.
Lin is on a very favorable deal too, right? Like somebody will trade for him most definitely. He's got a year left and then a player option, I think, but at like a pretty reasonable number.
Correct. Yeah, I mean, I think it's just one of those things where he's got you know, what Russell never had is he never had that explosive ability off the dribble. He's clearly more of a scorer. And he's clearly going to be, to me, it's going to be a situation, you know. We talked to Drew last year from Silver Screen and Roll about comparisons, or 2 years ago, and he said Nick Van Exel is a good comparison. And I totally see that. And I think Nick Van Exel really blew up when he was on the Mavs as a veteran, surrounded by other talent.
Yeah, it's interesting.
And I think the same thing. I could see the same thing trajectory for D'Angelo Russell. I think Van Exel is a better player out of the gate, I mean, he clearly was a better player out of the gate. But I think that kind of once he gets his shot more consistent, and once he can use that kind of scoring mentality to his advantage, surrounded by other players, he'll be a lot better off than kind of being the primary ball handler.
I think that we're definitely going to look at Russell's career in like 10 years if he's still in the league, and he'll be on like his third team, but actually playing really well or something. Yeah. Yeah. And it's like he finally put it together, like on it seemed like the Heat or something, you know, yeah. like some team that actually has a strong infrastructure is like Pat Riley's Heat is going to swoop in, pick him up. And I mean, look at what they did with Dion freaking Waiters. Right. So,
right.
I mean, if they could get a player like D'Angelo Russell when he's like 23, you know, like it, which is still, I think, 3 years from now or 2 years from now.
I mean, it could be later.
Or even later, yeah, when he's 25. I think
for Van Exel, it was like years later. It was after like ACL injuries, you know, and
yeah.
Finally he just found his niche in the league and became like this super explosive player. So, you know, I could see that happening. Well, I still think Russell has some good qualities as a guard in this league, and it's just a matter of finding the fit. And the Lakers are just way too chaotic for someone with his skill set to succeed.
I was going to say, this conversation can be too hopeful for Nets fans. Who are kind of hoping that he's going to just come in and actually be like a star, because he was a star, his number two pick. Not that that actually gets you anything. As Tom Haberstroh on a pod today was giving a rundown of number two picks, and it's like actually quite depressing, more so than I expected. But anyway, like it's definitely the thing that he needs is a change of scenery and like the better structure and all of those things. And I don't know if that's where he's going. Like, I don't know if Brooklyn is the place that's gonna get that to him. And this will I guess not be it. Time will tell whether they put together that sort of franchise, because it does seem like Kenny Atkinson is a good coach and gets his players motivated. And but I mean, he's a young guy going from New York or from LA to New York, and he's already got like, you know, maturity problems. I don't know.
Also, I'm willing to allow for the idea that the maturity problems have been overblown.
Yeah.
A little bit, you know, and LA is a huge market. He's got TMZ all over him in LA. He did make some big mistakes. Obviously we don't have to recap those, but, you know, I sometimes think we're talking about kids who, you know, we've had this discussion before. Like, what were you doing at 21 when you were in college? You know, you probably did some things that were regrettable, and if TMZ got a hold of them, you'd be embarrassed too. So I kind of just don't want to blow these things too much out of proportion.
I was doing things that downright would have ended with me in jail.
Yeah,
if TMZ was following me around.
So like, I think we got the Celtics pick.
D'Angelo Russell is significantly more mature than I was at that age.
Yeah, Celtics pick is in. Adam Silver is delivering it now. He's a funny looking dude.
Jason, I'm watching on like a bunk feed, and so you guys are way ahead of me. So
we'll just give it to you. This is going to be like like the reporters get like tell the draft pick 3 seconds before it's
in. You basically are the Wash to my real life.
It's Jason Tatum. From Duke. That was kind of the whispers.
That was the thinking.
That Ainge was more high on him than Josh Jackson. So and would he have taken Tatum at number one if he had kept number one?
That's the question. I mean, we'll never really know, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And so maybe this is exactly why the trade down happened, because Tatum is his favorite player, but he was just gonna get value out of it.
Danny Ainge is the king of like an expletive tease. That is a male body.
Yeah, no, we get it.
Yeah, we follow.
Because the thing is, he'll tell you what he's thinking, and then he'll like hint at it, and then eventually he'll do whatever the hell he's going to do anyways. But like, who knows if he would have taken Jason Tatum, but he definitely made it very clear that he wanted you to think that he was going to take Jason Tatum at number one, and that he knew that he wouldn't, so
he had to. But you know, imagine the Cavs had done this a few years ago when they drafted Anthony Bennett. How awesome. I mean, sometimes if this is what you want to do, you want to draft a guy who's not a number one pick, you take the guy you trade down. And so this is better. Right. I think this could be better than taking Tatum one if that's what he really wanted. But I don't know. I saw some things about Tatum that were kind of just in reading up about stuff that were just kind of caused some doubts. I saw I think it was Evan Z on Twitter who said he reminds him of Harrison Barnes.
No, Bill.
And obviously he's better than Barnes.
I think the difference is he can actually put the ball in the hoop.
Well, right, but the idea being that he's a bit more limited than we think he is, maybe.
Right.
And I actually see that the rap from people who watched him in the All-American game playing against Josh Jackson was that Josh Jackson like kind of locked him up, and Tatum was kind of taking having to settle for a lot of mid-range twos, like long twos. So, you know, I mean. That's kind of the player I see a little bit, someone who's going to struggle a little bit more than we expect to score. But he's versatile, and I could see how in the Celtics team he fits. They could use versatile size at the three.
So one thing this seems to indicate is that the Celtics are going to keep this pick. I mean, we heard that Ainge liked Tatum. We just saw that Jimmy Butler is going to Minnesota, which we still need to talk more about, I think, because it hasn't really sunk in yet.
Yeah, I know.
And Paul George, who knows what's going on there? But there haven't been a lot of connections between the Celtics and George, and maybe they don't think he's the guy that gets them over anyway. And maybe it's just simply the fact that the after this year, he might bolt to the Lakers. He has the opportunity to do so, or bolt somewhere, but he wants to go to the Lakers. So it's going to be a lot harder to make that trade for George, even though they have all those assets. So you think that they would want to do something with them?
At some point, you have to. You figure. This is such a weird... I mean, there are so many rumors going on right now. It's kind of hard to even... Like, LaMarcus Aldridge is one that I...
Yeah, let's talk about that for a second. So he's been in San Antonio for 2 years. Seems like he's been kind of like, maybe I'm wrong about this, but it seems like he's been not in the greatest of shape since he came to San Antonio. At least he hasn't seemed like it on the court. A little more fatigue factor, regularly. And hasn't, I guess the reason he wants out is that he hasn't been featured as much as he thought he would be. And maybe the reason he hasn't been featured as much as he thought he would be is because he's not as good as he was in Portland that he thinks he is. But where's like, I don't know. Is this what? Yeah, go ahead, Nate.
Well, I mean, you flip him for you're looking to flip him for a pick. Like you're saying, after 2 years, like, he's a guy who's, you're right, he's just not maybe as good as he expected to be. You're not going to feature LaMarcus Aldridge and get yourself past the second round. I just don't see it. And so I think that's the issue. Like there was a joke on Twitter that, you know, he's one of the guys who's like whose career is Draymond Green just kind of ended. Blake Griffin, LaMarcus Aldridge, and there was Kevin Love, who Draymond Green just like ended their careers. I don't know if that's necessarily true, but I mean, can you watch that Spurs series and not think that this guy is just not a number one? I mean, you can't think he's a number one guy after watching him go up against Green.
Well, he had the opportunity to say to prove that he was a number one guy after Kawhi went
down, unfortunately. And he failed miserably. So
failed, yeah.
I just think it's hilarious that they're just like, okay, we're gonna trade. We're gonna look for at trades now. Like it's like all these trades are crazy to me. There's so much talent. Like he's a talented player, no question. He's just not a number one guy.
So also, I just want to say that I know we're recording this live, and at the same time, we're going to post this tomorrow, which is kind of backwards and hilarious. But so then I know what the next two picks are because of Twitter. Like, do we want to talk about it, or should we just wait until they're actually announced?
Oh, no, it doesn't. Yeah, I might as well just talk about it. Yeah. Unless, Ivan, you want the suspense.
Let's talk about it. I will say this. I long for the days of that suspense, like the draft for me and for Warriors fans.
Because the Warriors don't have a pick, A. But B is that we're going to publish this tomorrow. So this is just literally a live blog of us talking through the draft. And, listen, you know, I feel like we have all the information about the
pod.
That we have.
It's not all about the pod. Sometimes it's about me as a person.
And the experience of the draft.
I just have such good memories of the draft and being excited about too. Who that next pick was going to be. And until it's all kind of...
Listen, we can all turn off our phones. But I mean, here's a conversation I've had with a couple people over the last couple of days. And I know that picks are coming through and we'll get back to them. And I know that we were going to talk about picks, and now I'm like suspending the suspense even further. But that this is a thing that's happening with our, with my generation and our generation, is that, like, you know, people used to read the newspaper all the time on the train, right? And so now, like, people are attached to their phones all the time. Mm-hmm. It's like people used to write letters and now they send text messages. And like the way that technology happens is always changing. And the older, the old guard is always going to jump on the new guard and say, like, oh, back in my day, this and it's like a total get off my lawn moment. But at the same time, we're all just still wanting for technology and for information. Cause I mean, the newspaper was technology too. Like, we want for technology and sort of like ever present information to sort of comfort us from the great unknown and just the cold death that awaits us beyond.
I don't know about all of that. I mean, the, like, it's about the speed
Josh
of it. Josh
Jackson,
right?
Is a fourth pick for
we got that, or I got that now. It's the immediacy, right? Like, why would you read a newspaper if you could just look at your phone? Because you're going to be reading something that happened 3 seconds ago instead of yesterday. So right. It just doesn't make any sense now. I think that the draft is actually kind of a super unique event in that you can watch it live and still be behind it. You know, you're still too late and you're watching it in real time. Which
I had the exact same thing happen, and I was at the draft watching it ahead of the TV 30-second whatever thing, and I was still behind. I was on TweetDeck, and like I was sitting, literally, I was sitting a couple seats away from Shams Shenaria, and his tweets would show up on my TweetDeck, and everybody in the row would be like, "Oh, whoa, huh, interesting," you know, because like. Everybody's just getting their information from the other reporters who are actually plugged in.
Man,
you should have. I'm just like taking in the whole scene and just being like, "This is so weird."
You should have been filming him from behind, like on his phone, like doing a live feed of what he was typing into Twitter, so you would get it first, and your followers would get it before he was even done finishing the tweet. That would be some next level scoop.
My followers
social are media inception
degenerate musicians and like weird Warriors fans, so like nobody cares. I mean, the Warriors draft the last couple years, other than them drafting future MVP and future
I'm like, what are you even talking about, dude?
So we've got Josh Jackson to the Suns. One of his comparables that they just showed up on the screen by Jay Billis was Andre Iguodala. Which, although it's number four, that's a phenomenal, like, if you can get the next Iguodala, like, you got to be drooling. And he's one of the few players that's kind of at the top end of the draft and of most drafts, frankly, who is touted for his defense, which is refreshing to see and hear.
Can I say touted for defense, but not offensively inept?
Right.
Totally. Kid Gilchrist was also touted for his defense, and offensively it's just hard to put him on the floor. So I think like this, like that's what I'm saying. Jackson is just like, he strikes me as a rare talent. Like, and Iguodala is actually a great comparison. I hadn't really thought of him that way, but
it's a great comparison. The two way. I mean, like it should be clear by now that you have to have some really good two way players on your team to construct the championship team. And it's like, if you don't have those guys, why the Warriors won, I think, is because it's not just, I mean, offensive and defensive talent as a package for each player. And then also the basketball IQ to go with it. I don't know enough about Jackson to know if he's, you know, at that level of like IQ that Andre Iguodala is. I know that
I
read something about him going to like anger management classes already.
He had a thing where he is kind of messed up. He actually attacked the car of one of his friend's girlfriends, or while the girlfriend was in the car, and like actually almost got arrested. It was like this whole messed up situation.
You can attack a car?
No, he like busted out a window or something while his friend's girlfriend was in there because something.
I think that's him attacking her, and the car was in the way.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah, no, he attacked this girl, and he like. It wasn't, I don't think it was his girl. I don't know.
Guys, I feel weird even talking about it. I gotta interrupt you guys because we missed something here. we missed something that, you know, let's actually start talking about social media again, because I just almost got victimized by a fake tweet.
Never mind. Oh, no.
Fake Woj tweeted that Indiana agrees to trade Paul George to the Celtics for Jason Tatum, Avery Bradley, and Marcus Smart. That is fake Woj. So totally ignore me. We can delete this, or we can talk about.
No, it's good. Fake, we should talk about. Yeah,
we should analyze fake trade and picks now.
Yeah.
All right. So go ahead.
Yeah.
But what do you mean? Wait, what was the fake Woj again?
There was a fake account that said Indiana agrees to trade Paul George to the Celtics for Jason Tatum, Avery Bradley, and Marcus Smart.
Okay.
Fake account.
So
that you should all block.
I just want to say that the real Woj 2 minutes ago
did tweet that
Boston Indiana talks for Paul George had gained significant momentum, but sides are still apart on a possible. Sides are
still apart, right? So the deal has not gone through.
Yeah.
But fake Woj also, did a good job.
Fake Woj was close. Yeah.
Yeah, close.
Fake,
good job.
Good job, fake Woj.
Yeah.
Also, just while we're at it, I mean, we could do the suspense, or we could just get these out of the way and then talk about other things that we're going to talk about. So the Kings are going to De'Aaron Fox with a number five pick. So I really hope that now that DeMarcus Cousins is gone, that franchise is moving in an interesting direction. And honestly, it's interesting in the fact that really it's all Kentucky guys, because they have Willie Cauley-Stein, and the other interesting player is Scal Labissery, or however you say his name, and now they have De'Aaron Fox. So it's three consecutive sort of Kentucky individuals that are leading the charge, and you know, maybe they'll bring them somewhat towards relevancy. I doubt it, but you know, whatever. And then
they traded away Boogie Cousins, who's also a Kentucky guy.
Who's also Kentucky, right? Exactly. Yeah.
Maybe it's just that they're a little too obsessed with getting Kentucky guys, and that's.
I mean, basically everybody in the NBA is from Kentucky.
Well, usually out of the top 15 pick, you know, draft picks are Kentucky guys.
So. Right. So I'm looking on the TV. They just announced the Kentucky for De'Aaron Fox for the Kings.
I like it.
So. We could wait, but we also could not. And I'm just going to say it, so we're obviously not going to wait. But Orlando is going to select Jonathan Isaac in the number six pick, which I think is bolt baloney, because I think is actually the new, like, Orlando and the Kings are two of the worst run friends. Like two of the just the I don't want to watch them play basketball right now. And I think Jonathan Isaac has an immense upside, and I wish that he didn't end up on Orlando Magic. Like, what are your thoughts?
I still want the suspense. I'm still watching De'Aaron Fox get his dap up Adam Silver here and get his hat on. See, I'm enjoying this.
So I'm simultaneously behind and ahead of you, because my crappy YouTube feed that I found on Reddit is he just dapped up Calipari.
Yeah.
And now he's heading to the States.
Oh, man.
But I also know what the next pick is. So it's just strange. You know, this is like the whole technology world that we live in.
Let's get to the Magic in a second. You know, obviously we're not Kings fans, but we're Kings tangential a little bit.
Yes.
Is he the right fit here? Because it really feels like a pretty good pick for the Kings. Like
I love this pick for the Kings.
Yeah, him and Buddy Hield as a backcourt is like, that makes some sense.
It really does. This guy is crazy fast. I mean, just watching his, you know, you always say you can't really take much from highlight videos, except that this guy is like the Roadrunner. And I'm just like, he's so fast. So, you know, I've seen comparisons to like Wall and Westbrook and stuff like that, which is probably a little bit overblown. Jalen says Elfrid Payton, which is kind of what I see, a better Elfrid Payton in Fox. But I think that kind of speedster point guard, you're right, next to some of the other guys they have, could be really interesting. I think the question for the Kings is, can they stand out of their own way? Can they just get out of their own way and let the players, let the talent they have kind of develop together? And we'll see if that's possible at all. But
it's going to be it's going to be such a different experience going forward with them without Cousins. Cause we've talked about this on the pod before about, like, Cousins is a generational talent perhaps, but he had to move on. Like, it was one of those things that until they moved on from Cousins, they weren't going to be right as a franchise, and he wasn't going to be right as a player. And they might not ever be right as a franchise, and he might not ever be totally right as a player. But it wasn't going to work with that combination, right? And so it feels like there should be a little bit of a clean slate for the Kings, in that they have like this thing that was hanging over them for like 6 years or whatever. Like, they can move on and try to figure out and find some other pieces, and now they can create a culture if they want to. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Vlade Divac and their owner, what's his name? I don't know. You know, from top down, Renadive, it's going to be kind of hard to maybe do that. But you know, they've got a good coach in Jaeger.
Yeah. Jaegermeister.
And all these young players, so it's interesting. This is like the most excited I am for the Kings in 5 years, I think, at this moment.
Yeah, I'm with you. I wish they hadn't kind of bungled the Cousins trade so much.
What are those shoes?
I don't know why. Why do I care about the Kings? Because it's cheaper to see a Kings game than it is a Warriors game, maybe now. But
you're just looking now. Yeah. You want an underdog to root for again, because that's what you're used to. That's just your life.
I made it to the top. We actually haven't. We haven't not talked since the finals, right? As a podcast.
No, we haven't. I know.
We should do that next week, maybe. Because I think I feel at peace with basketball right now, so that's a good thing. Yeah, but yeah, De'Aaron Fox. I think it's you can't be too mad at athleticism at the point guard position, and a guy who can make things happen on the floor. That's what you need, and we'll see what he can do. It's just, I mean, how much hope can you have for the Kings? It's just so hard to be optimistic about them at all. So,
well, we're trying. We're trying hard. Magic are still on the clock. They got a minute and 15 left, but we already know that that Jonathan Isaacs is going to the Magic. I don't know anything about Jonathan Isaacs other than he's got like a crazy he's crazy tall, has a crazy wingspan, and can shoot threes, if I recall correctly. But am I thinking the right guy?
Yeah, you're about there. I think the 3-point part is going to come along. I think right now what you're looking at is long defense athlete, and you know that's good. I think there's been I hate to even put this on the guy, but I think Ekpe Udoh was also selected number 6.
totally different players, but yeah,
totally different players, but I'm having that kind of like I think there's times in the draft we get too obsessed with the body of the guy. And like, I think that's what happened with Harrison Barnes, to tell you the truth. It happened with him since high school. Like, this guy has an amazing prototypical body. He's going to turn into something. We'll see what happens.
Nate, are you talking about 2018 NBA champion on the Golden State Warriors, Ekpe Udoh, as their starting center? Is that what you're talking about?
I am talking about 2018 NBA champion, most improved player, sixth man of the year.
I would love it if he came back.
Honestly, that could happen. I mean, they could run out a team of the second unit could be like Vince Carter, Ekpe Udoh. Honestly, while we're doing it, screw it. Let's get Anthony Randolph. Like, let's just run it back.
And Kent Bazemore. I had to have them all.
Is he a free agent though? I mean, isn't he under contract?
They're looking to trade him. But it's not going to happen with the Warriors. I think the thing blocking Udoh right now, they're saying is, or what I've seen before, is it might just be money. Like, he could probably get more money elsewhere if he was to come back to the league
in Europe. Yeah. Well, so, he might want that ring if he can swing it. I mean, that's one thing that the Warriors can offer that nobody else in the world can, is a chance to get an NBA ring.
That's quite an arrogant statement. I mean, you're not wrong. It's just like that. Literally, no one else in the entire world can possibly offer. Is the chance to get a ring in 2018.
I mean, name one.
Definitely not the Cavaliers. The Kings? But, I don't know. The Kings are looking nice.
Let me clarify, though. Jonathan Isaac is not Ekpe Udoh. I'm not saying that. I was just thinking in terms, like, I'm reading the scouting reports, just, like, the focus on the physique and whatnot. The guy is clearly a versatile guy. He's a versatile athlete.
But he can also shoot. He can shoot the ball.
Yeah, he's a versatile two-way player. And so he'll probably find something to be able to contribute in the league. You've seen these guys before who are labeled as versatile and they end up not doing anything well.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
The Magic, I'm kind of with Bram that like they're miserable right now, But they had, and they're just like the worst constructed team. Like all of these people that kind of do the same thing. It doesn't make any sense. And they got rid of their GM because of that. And so it seems impossible for us to come out of the summer without the Magic making two or three moves, right? I mean, that's the reason why they change their GM. And if he stands pat, like it doesn't make any sense for the team. And it doesn't make any sense for him personally. So this is an interesting piece that he can. I mean, he's a 3-4 combo, right, Jonathan Isaac?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they got Aaron Gordon.
So tough, man. Yeah, 3-4 combo is just so tough. I understand, and Jalen's comparing him to Andre Kirilenko. Kirilenko was a special player, and I think the thing that gets missed about Kirilenko is he had legit ball skills as a 3-4 player. Yeah. Like he could pass the ball, he could do some things. I mean, that's just being a combo forward is just not. Unless you're Draymond Green, you got like elite playmaking skills. It's just hard to make it in the league like that.
Well, it seems, I mean, there's more and more of them, but it seems like more and more if you're a 3-4 combo, you should just be playing the four, you know, like.
Correct. Yeah.
And that's what makes this tricky when you're trying to construct these teams. It doesn't end up making like your three needs to be able to shoot threes and your four needs to be able to create mismatches. Like, you know, unless he's a one, unless you do something like with Antetokounmpo and you have him play point, but like otherwise Antetokounmpo should probably be playing four because he's just creating so much of a devastating mismatch on the other end. And then defensively, he's still able to hold his own on, you know, being a weak side defender. And so that seems like something that, you know, Jonathan Isaac should be doing, but then they have Aaron Gordon, who's the exact same thing, right? Like maybe he should be a five, but then you have, Vucevic and you've got Biombo. And I think there's like another player that is duplicative of what they have, and I don't know. They've got to make some moves.
It's an odd team. Yeah. I'm with Bram that they're largely unwatchable.
Oh yeah, but shouldn't they be
and to the point of being forgettable?
I mean, I love basketball, and I just don't. I don't think I watch. The Magic are not a team that I will watch.
But doesn't it feel like they're just if like they're a couple moves away from like, oh man, now this is a team that's featuring like Aaron Gordon pick and rolls with Peyton or you know, feels,
but they've been trying to do that and it was bad.
Again, it's I think that the construction of the team was too top heavy. They don't have enough guys that are creating spacing with shooters. Hezonja's been kind of a bust, even though I really wish that he was going to live up to all the smack talk he did when he entered the league. I forgot what he was saying, but he's like, I was going to hold on to him as my Croatian, you know, like Croatian Jordan, like is what I was hoping, but it doesn't look like that's going to
happen. No, not quite. I don't know what that roster is doing right now, but
So I don't know where you guys are on the. I'm like curious how
we're number heading into number seven.
Yeah, we're got a minute and a half to go on the Wolves pick.
All right, I got a minute 40 right now on the Wolves pick.
Have you been checking Twitter though? Are you going to give us the update or what?
No, I know what it is already.
Okay, well let's move on. We're done with the Jazz. We don't need to talk about them anymore.
The Jazz.
Sorry, the Magic.
I knew what it was. It's not the Jazz.
You're Orlando Jazz.
It's one of those, it's those teams that don't have, they're not, it's not like a, you know, it's a singular plural thing going on.
And I feel you. Something I don't like, by the way.
Yeah, no, I mean either.
To be plural.
Yep, it's dumb. Thanks, Nate. Thanks for backing me up there, Nate.
You're welcome.
I'll let the suspense kick in for this one, though. I saw it. I know who the Knicks are drafting already, too. But I'll let the suspense just trickle down from the heavens, you know, without ruining it the next day.
Thank you. I mean, something's have to remain sacred in the world.
Yeah. So are you guys not looking at Twitter? Are you like not?
I'm just focused. I'm focused on this podcast, Bram. I'm looking straight into the microphone. No, I'm looking at my television. But
like straight your adult beverage that you made that's sitting in front of you, probably.
I didn't have enough time to make a cocktail, so I'm drinking something from Six Point.
Which one?
The Sweet Action.
Oh, the Sweet Action is fantastic.
It's a delicious beer.
Yeah, it is a delicious beer. Nate, do they have that out in the West Coast? I don't know if they had
never heard of it.
Oh, Six Point is great, man. It's like a New York City beer. And the Sweet Action is their flagship, for what it's worth.
I'll have to try it out sometime.
It's nice. It's like an IPA, but it's a little smoother, but it's just a fantastic, easy drinkable beer.
Yeah, it might be the best microbrew I've had from New York so far out here.
From New York City, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
New York State, maybe not, but definitely from the city. Yeah.
Okay, so the Wolves are about to pick, but it's they're picking for the Bulls, right? And that's how this is going? Assuming that that trade goes through. The suspense.
It's we're all watching it.
I'm not going to say it's killing me. I don't really care that much. oh, no. Wait, they picked Markkanen, which is like the joke that the Wolves are going to pick Markkanen all this time, and then he ends up going to the Bulls.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, boy.
But this is another thing that always happens on draft night, is that he's going to go put on the Timberwolves hat because the trade hasn't been approved. But it's like, it's such BS, because he knows, like everybody knows, right? Again, getting back to technology, everybody knows that he's going to go to the Bulls. So why does he have to put on the Timberwolves hat? Why not, like, for assuming that he turns into a star for the Bulls, wouldn't you rather, like, the Bulls propaganda machine would be able to show pictures of him hugging Adam Silver and wearing a Bulls hat?
They redo it usually, or some they figure that out for the propaganda machine.
You know, the NBA propaganda machine is a real thing.
Was it Stephon Marbury and Ray Allen who actually switched hats?
I don't remember.
That Vincent, maybe Antoine Jameson too. Vincent and Antoine Jameson actually got a picture together.
Oh, right. Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah, which is still, it still pains me to this day.
Well, that was the weirdest trade too, man.
Vince now.
Yeah. I was actually researching that trade in the course of writing that piece about Vince, and it was just like the cash considerations, and that it was
more confusing on our end because we didn't see what was happening than I think it really was.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it was pretty straightforward for the teams. But it was hella confusing watching it on TV because we didn't have all the background information. And I was just like, no, what are we doing?
So did you want Vince or did you want Antoine?
Oh my God, I wanted Vince Carter.
Yeah.
I wanted Vince Carter so badly. And back in my sports radio days, I had Vince Carter as Rookie of the Year before that draft happened. I was so sure about Vince Carter.
Wow.
And I've rarely been so sure about a prospect.
He was a sophomore coming out?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
And when the Warriors got him, I was like elated and then quickly crushed, which is pretty much...
But wasn't Antoine was on that same team, right? On North Carolina? Yeah.
Yeah. And I just didn't think...
thing, man.
So Antoine was another guy. He was a tweener. You know,
When you mentioned Vince Carter, you're talking about NBA champion of 2018 on the Golden State Warriors.
Correct.
Vince Carter, is that you're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. Just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, along with the bench mob, along with Ekpe Udoh, and who else did we say? Kent Bazemore for me, for my...
I'll say this much, is that Vince is going to be a fantastic mentor for Pat McCaw.
What do you say? A fantastic backup for Pat McCaw? What was that? You guys, my Pat McCaw love is endless. I mean, this guy eventually is going to come on the podcast because we rave about him so much. I might love him more than his mother. It's ridiculous.
Oh, Jesus. If you keep saying things like that, he might not come on the podcast. But I also, I met him in Vegas and we talked like a couple times, and he's a sweetheart, man. He's just
a cool guy.
Yeah. He's super, super laid back. And I love it. He's just like the humblest dude you've ever met.
Yeah, you wouldn't take him for an NBA player talking to
him. No, I mean, other than his size and length, you definitely, and just general like athleticism that you can obviously tell from meeting the dude just from 2 feet away. But yes, no, his demeanor is definitely not that of a polished NBA star, although he definitely is a future MVP Hall of Famer.
Thank you. I was getting confused by where you were going with that.
Yeah. So the Knicks are on the clock. I know who they're taking, but should we take this opportunity to just slander them a little bit more?
I want to hear what you guys are here, like what it's like to be in New York right now during this madness.
Well, I was saying, I don't have any Knicks fan friends or people that I'm around. Like everybody I'm around is probably
trans. I do. Yeah, they're not happy. obviously. But the thing about Knicks fans is that they have like this sort of, and maybe this is sort of inherent in living in New York, but they have this sort of like sad soul, like an old man's soul that's just sort of sad about the way that life has worked out. Mm-hmm. And so that ends up making life into sort of a humorous game in some ways, in that they can look at everything that's happening and not really overreact to it, but at the same time internalize it and just kind of pack it into their sad old man soul, and then just make a couple, you know, sort of quick one-liners that kind of tie the whole room together.
Okay, I've got the next pick coming.
Oh, yeah?
Are they going to boo? That's my question. Is the crowd going to boo?
They did not boo. They cheered. They liked the pick.
No, there's some boos. I'm hearing boos.
Man, I need to turn it up louder. Oh, you're right. There's a little jeering in there. But it's generally positive.
Yeah.
So, Frank, how do you say that last name? Nilekina? Let's go with Nilekina from France. I think that they're just happy that they didn't trade the pick, although this pick still could get traded.
Yeah, it could still be traded. I still think okay, let's talk about this. Of the guys who are talking about being traded, people are talking about being traded. Butler was just traded, but we still have Aldridge apparently on the market, and
Paul George,
Porzingis. Which of those two guys do you think has more of a chance of being traded?
Right now, like today?
Yeah.
Well, now that the Knicks have made this pick, I think that we would have heard about it if they had, because the thing is, the Knicks were going to trade up into the top four to get Josh Jackson. So we would have heard about it already. So Porzingis is still in the Knicks. He's not getting traded.
He's not going to be traded.
Okay. No.
Yeah. I think that Aldridge will be traded if they can, but it doesn't need to be today. It's probably going to be on some, you know, dreary Thursday in like the end of August or something. Some typical Spurs thing where it's like, you kind of forget about it, and then you hear about it, and you're like, "Oh, that's whatever. It's just the Spurs and Aldridge." I don't know. I mean, I think you're right. You're probably right. Porzingis isn't going to be traded, but I just don't think that they can sustain what they have with him and Phil. Like, you can't expect James Dolan to do anything smart, like fire Phil Jackson, but. Like, God, you know, are they going to enter the season and then, you know, maybe he doesn't show up for training camp like he didn't show up for his exit interview. And then they're going to have to trade him anyway because he's basically demanding a trade and like boycotts them. I don't know. It could happen. And if it does happen, everybody's still going to line up because he's not some natural malcontent that as far as we've been able to tell. Like, he's really, you know, presented himself quite a mature guy and, you know, kind and, you know, humble and works well with his teammates. And, you know, Porzingis is kind of the whole package there. And, you know, if nobody's going to blame him if he just doesn't show up, you know, it's going to be on Phil Jackson. And it's going to be on James Dolan. And already nobody wants to go to the Knicks. Like, they can't sign any free agents. Unless they're, you know, just dumping tons of money on Joakim Noah's driveway. You know, it's like that's all they got right now. And I would just be so sad and pissed if even if they don't trade him today. Like, I'm still going to be sad and pissed. And to Bram's point, like, this kind of just, you know, accepting that everything sucks. I will say that, but to respond to that last point that Bram was making, when the Knicks do get good, if they ever do again, Knicks fans are going to be terrible. They're going to be so unbearable. So we can be sad for them now, but not for that much longer.
But the thing is, it's not going to happen because James Dolan is the owner, and much like with the Warriors when Chris Cohen was the owner, they were horrible and they were never going to get any better. But eventually he sold the team. James Dolan is not selling the team. That team is the most profitable team in the entire NBA. And he owns MSG, and he owns the cable network that they play on, and he owns the Rangers, too, who play in the same building. So that stupid, dumb idiot is not selling the team. And the Knicks are screwed for eternity because he's a effing moron that does not know how to run an organization, and there's no hope.
He could get into legal trouble or something. I mean, isn't Cohen had like
that's what happened with Cohen. Yeah, Cohen didn't just sell because he wanted to. He got in legal trouble.
Yeah, he like needed some cash, right?
Yeah,
I don't remember what.
I think it was like happened. I don't want to spread rumors or misinformation. Oh, spread
rumors. We need some rumors.
No, you're right. It was a legal tangle that he was in. I remember that. So
a little kerfuffle, huh?
Yeah. Let's hope. Never mind. I was going to talk about Jed York. Let's leave football out of this all together.
Oh yeah, I know. That's too.
Don't plain. Need to go there. having a bad owner who owns the stadium, looking at the Knicks is kind of dismal. When you look at where the Niners are right now, they're in the beginning of that descent, and can it's not looking positive.
Can they go any lower?
I'll I guess say this much, man.
They could be down there for 10 years.
Listen,
they could be down there for a decade.
I thought that it's the John awful. Lynch thing was going to blow up in their face, but I think that Lynch and Shanahan and the draft picks that they got, I thought that draft went as well as it possibly could have gone for the Niners.
I mean,
for the first time in my entire, well, not entire life, Jesus, for the first time in the last four years, I have like a shimmer sliver of hope that I think that the Niners might actually do something good. And it's purely because I haven't been disproven yet, but I do have a lot more faith in Shanahan than, for example, the mustachioed wonder. What's his face? So I can't remember his name. Who's gone already. So, you know.
Ooh. So we have the Mavericks pick.
Dennis right. Smith Jr.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Yeah, I mean, this has kind of gone as expected, right? Like, these are the top nine consensus picks, and it could have moved around. A lot of podcasts and experts in the field were kind of putting out the idea that that this draft in the end is pretty flat, or it could be like the top nine. You could really get the best one, two, or three pick anywhere within the top nine, and some people think that Dennis Smith is like, he's that good. He's just a super athlete. I don't remember what his vertical was, but it was something preposterous. Like, it was like 48 inches or something like that. I don't know what it was. It didn't make any sense.
Just a break here. So outside of these top guys, do we want to follow the Bram way of doing this, or just letting it roll with the Twitter info? Like, we talk about one guy, when we're done talking, Bram can give us the next one.
Yeah, I haven't even looked recently. Let's find out what's happening now.
Because at this point, like, I'm with you. It's going to get really flat, and it's going to get into the teens where guys are going to be straight busts.
And yeah, we're already
about to spend our time.
I don't know how this happened, but we're also already an hour in.
Yeah,
so
there we are. That's the other thing I'm looking at. Like, how can we speed this up?
All right. Well, all right. So here we go.
No one's going to listen to us talk in 2 hours.
All right. Dallas is selecting Dennis Smith. All right. So the next thing that's about to happen, according to Waj, Sacramento is trading the number 10 pick to Portland for number 15 and 20 in draft. Sources tell the vertical. And then with that pick, Portland will select Zach Collins, who's from Gonzaga, with a number 10 pick. So that's what's coming down the pipe.
So I saw our Portland buddies on Twitter not liking the Zach Collins pickup. I know that, or the idea of this, but I guess this was rumored earlier today. So
I mean, if like what I just said, the top nine are the cream of the crop, and then after 10, it's kind of a crapshoot, then you kind of maybe got to give this to the Sacramento Kings for getting you know, 15 and 20 out of the 10 that, you know, the 15 or the 20 could end up being, you know, the same. That's pretty good value.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know anything about Zach Collins, but it's a very Portland move for them to draft a Gonzaga player. I'll say that.
Yeah. I think Zach Collins sounds like he was a guy who didn't play as much as he thought he would at Gonzaga, but showed some flashes. I don't think the Warriors have ever drafted one of those guys. Am I wrong about this? Or, you know, those guys who like Nicolas Kiddishvili. I'm sorry to bring up this guy with Zach Collins. I'm sorry, Zach. I'm not trying to curse you like that. But, you know, this guy like plays 5 minutes a game in Europe, and people are like, oh my God, he's going to be amazing. And it's like, yeah, he was amazingly efficient in his 5 minutes, but we didn't see enough to know that he actually wasn't that good.
I guess they've done that with some later picks, but maybe not. I mean, like, yeah. you know, they've taken chances on, you know, your, like Gilbert Arenas might be a good example of that, who showed flashes at Arizona, but you know, nobody expected him to be what he was, right. But he also, right. Yeah. And maybe even Monte Ellis, who, you know, he came out of high school. So you only got flashes of him from right. the high school clips, but right. kind of a similar player where it was a little bit boom or bust scenario or, you know, well, not wasn't knowing he literally what's called in
the Mississippi Flash or the Mississippi.
Yeah. He was big in Mississippi. Right. Yeah. He was quite a high school star.
But for every one of those, you get like
an ACL injury coming in, I think. And that's why he slipped to the second round.
Did he? Oh yeah. I that's
I
right.
I want to say that.
It wasn't a full ACL tear or anything. It was he had a knee sprain. So he looked bad in all of his pre-draft workouts and everything like that.
Yeah.
But like for every one of those, you're right. You have like your Charles Jenkins or God, what was that? There was another like
Brandon early, Jennings.
Who?
Brandon Jennings.
Well, no, we're talking about Warriors draft picks that.
Oh no, sorry. I thought we were just talking about players who were overhyped in high school.
Warriors.
No, guys that you would expect the Warriors to pick who are just like, well, he was pretty good, so maybe he'll be pretty good, you know. And like,
I'm sorry, I'm so confused because this weird stream that I have on YouTube somehow, it every commercial it goes to this like old school Japanese warrior course thing that they have to run. What were you talking about, Ivan, earlier, like the
American Ninja Warrior? So it was like Japanese
American Ninja Warrior, but it's like the original Japanese version. Yeah. Yeah, like the actual Japanese Ninja Warrior. And so like literally I have one earbud in and I'm sort of listening to what you guys are saying, but then also somebody's just yelling at me in Japanese about this dude who's like running this course.
I mean, to be fair, that is way more exciting than whatever we're saying. Like, I would be watching that if I had the choice.
Well, so why don't you give the speaking of it, give us the next pick, Bram.
I gotta look.
He doesn't know. He's been watching.
I've been watching Ultimate Warrior and eating leftover Chinese food. All right. So did we talk about Portland will select Zach Collins? Yes. Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think that's all we have so far. Waj is failing us so far.
Oh, so listen, in this Bulls Timberwolves trade, one thing I didn't pick up is that they did swap their picks. So the Wolves also got the number 16 along with Jimmy Butler.
Oh, did they? Okay.
Yeah, that is better for them. I would think so.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty good.
We need to bring David back on here, Naylor, to talk about this, because I am really curious about what he thinks about Wiggins and Butler playing together.
Now, I'm also curious.
I'm not sure what I think about that.
I'm also curious to know what the temperature is on Chris Dunn at this point. In the Minnesota camp,
pretty cold.
I mean, obviously, but I don't know. Yeah, so you don't think that fans are going to be too broken up about him leaving and them getting Jimmy Butler in response?
No, I don't think so. No, I don't think so. I love Timberwolves fans. I mean, they're going to be overtaking the Warriors eventually as the dominant champions of the world once Towns, you know.
Well,
becomes what he's going to become.
I mean, but Butler, Towns, Wiggins, and then whatever.
I just don't see how that fits. I don't know. I could be wrong. I mean, do you guys see? How do those guys fit together?
I think it's
with
fun.
Rubio right now.
Well, here's an angle that I think makes a lot of sense. There is that that is nice of guys as Wiggins and Towns are, and like, you know, kind of leadership by example guys, like they needed a dude like Butler. I think like he's going to be the lead guy who's going to kind of demand, you know, the rock in a good way. I think we'll see, but you know, I think
Towns is growing into that player too though.
Yeah, he might be, but he might have grown into it, and maybe that would be soon, maybe that would be next year, but now they definitely have that, and now that now Towns can also develop that alongside Butler, I think it makes a lot of sense from that chemistry standpoint. Wiggins is kind of the third guy now, and Wiggins is kind of, like, he should be the third guy, to be honest. Like, that's kind of his I think
I'm with you on that.
His talent level, right? Yeah. Like, He's good, but like he's going to be a lot better if he can. If he,
I
can,
mean, listen, you know, tell cut, that out to all the crying, complaining Cleveland fans who were bemoaning the Kevin Love trade and saying that they would have beat the Warriors this year if Andrew Wiggins was on the team.
Wait, who said that?
A lot of people said that.
I missed that one.
Oh, so many people said that.
Oh, wow.
Like national people said that, or at least a lot of people on New York like radio talk shows said that. A lot of people were like, really, oh, Kevin Love was too slow. Like they needed younger talent. They needed athletic, you know, wing guys to cover Curry and Clay and blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah, they were saying that the Cavs would have won if they hadn't traded Love for Wiggins. That was a definite thing.
Okay.
That,
okay.
To which I smiled.
I'm good.
And laughed.
Yeah. It's like, guys, we got our trophies, whatever.
Yeah.
Say, think what you want. Why are we so annoyed by these things? I don't know.
Zach Collins looks a little bit like the kid who gets the fake ID in Superbad.
Wow.
I was thinking
that's really tall.
I was thinking he looked like the main guy from that movie Kids. Remember that one?
Oh jeez.
Yeah, or at least a character in Kids, and that was it, like I glanced up and I was like, oh no, this is not going to end well.
these are two rough comparisons.
I mean, listen, you get meanwhile, to this part of the draft
comparison match. Was Bill Laimbeer, which is much more favorable, I yeah. guess. Yeah.
He had a cool lapel pen that was like half of a basketball court. That was kind of cool. Anyway, sorry. I am looking at the fashion and these like crazy shiny hats that have like felt brims. Like, what is going on here?
Yeah, those NBA's, are weird.
See, this is the typography inside of you coming out, and just you're always questioning the construction of anything.
Always the aesthetics are always on my mind. So these are New Era hats. So that has nothing to do with the you know Adidas leaving this year, leaving the NBA, and Nike taking over next year, which is kind of a topic unto its own that maybe only I'm interested in. So never mind. I
honestly did not even know that.
Yep, it's happening. There's going to be Nike logos on all of their stuff now, and also ad patches for next year on probably every NBA team. Although they haven't been announced for every team yet. I'm super curious about who the Warriors are going to end up paying them tons of money.
We're the first to announce that they're doing Fitbit or something, right?
Who?
The Timberwolves?
They're doing Fitbit?
I think they're doing Fitbit.
All right, let me actually make sure I'm not.
Boston's doing GE, and that logo is actually kind of nice, and they're fitting it into the aesthetic pretty well by like the GE allowed them to do the colors to match the uniform. So yeah, it looks pretty
Minnesota
good.
Timberwolves partner with Fitbit and patch deal.
I think you need to apply for like a consulting job with the NBA here in this one.
Oh, I would love
make
to
make sure they get this right.
Oh,
Nate, I will say this much is that Ivan should do that for our purposes because it would be fun. And then we could talk to him about what the hell is actually going on in the league. But Ivan is also about to take a 5-week sabbatical that he's getting paid for from his job. And he's going to go to Europe and do a bunch of hiking.
I probably shouldn't leave my job at this point, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, good point. Never mind. that NBA consulting life is for the birds. But anyway, all right. where are we next? Where are we at right now?
We got the Hornets are on the clock with a minute 25 to go. Ram, who do they get?
I don't know, man. Woj is failing me. Let's find out.
I just saw SB Nation Charlotte? Just tweeted Woj hasn't tweeted for 11 minutes.
Oh my goodness.
All right, so Shams Charania and Woj retweeted it, but Charlotte is selecting Kentucky's Malik Monk with the number 11 overall pick in the NBA draft.
I forgot about Monk. He was supposed to be in that top nine, I thought. I wonder
if Monk is going to get some buckets under MJ. I'm telling you this. Monk is going to be great in Charlotte. I think that that's actually a really good pick.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of bonk for him because Charlotte is not ever going to be good, but he is going to score a lot.
Wait. Guys, we have to talk about this, the new state of the Charlotte Hornets there with their brand new center, none other than Dwight Howard.
Dwight Howard. I know. I wrote about that this morning and I threw a lot of shade and I feel like in retrospect, I maybe could have thrown a little bit more.
people are talking about the fit there though. Not terrible.
They're going to be really good defensively, right? Like, they're going to be.
Dwight's not going to play. Dwight is not going to see that much court time.
Hmm. I don't know, I mean, you know, the funny thing is
if he's healthy he will.
I think the funny thing is he had a decent year last year. I think he's not meeting up to the perennial expectations that people expected, and I think that's, I mean, I give Dwight Howard plenty of shade. At the same time, I can see how he'll fit. He deserves it all. But you look at that team is going to be kind of a defensive monster. If people are healthy, they're going to be really tough defensively. I think that'll be probably the calling card. And with that and Kemba, if Dwight can stay healthy, you got Kemba, Howard, and pick and roll could be interesting possibilities there.
And like the problem, if I remember correctly, I'm not looking at the stats right now, but I remember the starting five of the Hornets were already really good defensively, and when they were all on the court, and that was without Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, who was injured during those minutes, and as soon as they went to the bench, it was lights out, right? Like they just had nobody else. What's his name? Their starting center got hurt. He wasn't able to play a ton of minutes. I didn't pull up the roster here.
I know who the Detroit Pistons are drafting now too, by the way.
Let me just complain about something really quick. Is that I Googled Hornets roster, and you know, and Google usually like gives you all of the player cards at the top when you just Google the roster. I Google Hornets roster and it shows me the New Orleans Pelicans.
Weird.
It's super weird. And so I was looking through, I was like, where is that guy? What's his name? And why isn't he here? Oh no, I'm looking at the Pelicans. It's ridiculous. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I just really quickly before we get to the next pick, Monk, I think putting Monk in that situation the Dwight jokes are its own separate thing, and the Dwight jokes, people need to get the Dwight jokes off, and I'm glad Bram did. the Hornets are moving in the right direction right now. Adding a shooter to that squad with Kemba Walker, depending on what they get out of Howard.
I love Kemba too. Kemba's my guy. I mean, I've been following him since he was a teenager in New York when I was there too. So
yeah, it's a nice roster.
They needed scoring, and Monk should be able to really go lights out with him. And that backcourt is going to be fast and dangerous. And if they have if they can stay healthy and have that defensive power underneath, it's like, I don't know. It's interesting.
What do you think the chances are that Jordan tries to embarrass him on day one in the practice gym, one on one? Yeah,
I think he just does that routinely. I think it probably happens more often than we hear about.
Right. I think he actually drafted Monk just to see where his game was at, because he needed like a one on one partner.
I think he drafts everyone to do that.
Yeah,
I think that's why he owns a team, just to prove to himself that he's still the best ever.
I would watch Hornets practices like. Or pre practices, if they televise that and like I had to pay a couple bucks, I'd probably watch that.
Yeah, I agree.
Next on the clock is the Detroit Pistons. They've got 4 minutes left.
Hey, we got a couple of these picks, man.
All right. I know who's it? Oh, it's Luke Kennard.
Okay.
I didn't know.
I mean, other than playing for Duke and being white, of course, the only other thing I knew about Luke Kennard is I saw his like pre-draft measurements or whatever, and I think it said he was 6'7" with a 6'5" wingspan. And I was like, nope, no, thank you.
Typical white guy shit.
No, thank you.
Nope.
That's not a good sign in the NBA, my friends.
Hey, man, I mean, he's the next Stauskas, you know?
My Wolverine brother will turn it around eventually.
I don't think he's going to, man. Sorry.
No, you're
right. I just don't think that's going to happen. Yeah.
No.
Although he's still on the Sixers, right?
Yeah.
So if there's any team that he could, you know, be like
this could be the right place for him.
I mean, Fultz and Simmons are going to find him his shots. And unless he forgot how to shoot, he'll finally find his sort of upside as like a spot up shooter.
That team is going to be insane.
I mean, he's got the shooting touch of Steph and the size of Clay, you know?
Yeah,
I'm excited for the Sixers. Like, after all these terrible years of losing on purpose, like, oh, this is pretty good. You guys really pulled it together, didn't you?
Get all those number one. Think about here's the thing about Hinkie, though. People are saying, crediting Hinkie, he made some really bad draft picks.
Yeah.
So he made one or two bad draft picks. I mean, some of them are good. Most of them are good.
Nah.
I mean, the Okafor pick is horrible, but
Noel didn't work out.
Well, but they traded him for.
But you get so many top five picks. You get so many picks over the last few years. Some of them are going to pan out, but overall, like all those picks they've had, they haven't actually done well just from a draft standpoint. I'm not mad at Ben Simmons, Embiid, Fultz. You're doing great, right? And Saric was a great pick.
Yeah.
But people were saying, like, overall, did he really do that well with the picks he was given? I mean,
I don't know.
He had a ton of picks.
Yeah, it's true. But Okafor was a consensus pick at that spot. Like, a lot of people had doubts about him, but
there was enough doubt about him.
Almost any team, though, would have done the same thing. So, and maybe that's to their fault, but it's a lot of teams would have made the same mistake, right?
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, he's not a terrible drafter. I'm not saying he's a terrible drafter. Right. I'm just saying, like,
he knows a much better drafter. Bob Myers.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you look at what the Warriors did with their draft picks. That's amazing. What the Spurs have done historically with their draft picks. That's amazing.
Right. Like, and that's the thing, you talk about the Warriors, it's number 7 for Steph, number 11 for Klay, number 36 for Draymond?
Yeah.
Or whatever it was. That's
remarkable.
35. I mean,
and Pat McCall was 38.
McCall was 38, yeah. It's just...
Even Festus Ezeli was a good pick. I mean, it was... Yeah. You know, he had injury problems.
Yeah, and he was, 20-something? 20?
And we need to talk about this more later in the offseason. Harrison Barnes, actually looking back at that draft, the more you look back at it, wasn't a bad pick.
No, not at all. I mean, he was number eight in that pick? In that draft?
He was seven.
It's hard to justify picking many players over.
I mean, how many number seven picks have gotten a max contract for their second contract?
Good question. I actually don't know.
You know, I don't know either. Point. I'm just saying, like,
it's a super good question.
It's a rare thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're all hard on Barnes for good reason. I don't want to change the whole, like, spirit of this podcast right now, but.
All I'll say is I'm just glad the Warriors didn't max him out. That's all.
Yeah.
No, that's true. Like, how many number seven picks have gotten to max? And Steph would be one of the other ones. But then on top of that, how many have the Warriors handed out, right? So.
Yeah.
And Steph hasn't gotten it yet. I mean, he's about to get it now, you know? So.
Yeah.
That's. So.
I'm glad they had a pick at all. Like, they were very close to not picking anything, and they managed to get that seven at the end. I mean, Barnes is like basically a cherry on the top that worked out for a championship and then didn't for a second one. And his leaving allowed them to sign Kevin Durant because they had all the cap space open. So, hey, I'll take it. All right, Nuggets are on the clock, 4 minutes and 30 seconds.
All right, let me see if this is
number 13.
All right, we got some news. All right, Utah has made a deal with Denver for the 13th pick.
Okay.
And we'll select Donovan Mitchell, sources say.
We're definitely now in the range of players that I've never heard of. We should probably stop this podcast soon.
I actually think we should stop it. In fact, because I'm on vacation, I don't know what you guys are doing. I'm thinking we should maybe stop it. And if you guys have like 20 minutes tomorrow, we could do like a winners, losers thing. Or like teams we think are best positioned to do well in the future.
Yeah, I can take some minutes.
You see what I'm saying?
Oh shit! Real quick before we do this, so Utah, Wash just tweeted Utah will send Trey Lyles and number 24 pick to Denver for number 13.
So here's how we should analyze every pick. Does that move them closer to the Warriors?
No, none of these. None of this matters. none of this matters at all.
Yeah.
So
Does taking one step matter when the Warriors are a thousand steps ahead of you?
Okay. I think Fultz moves. He moves the Sixers closer to a future in which they can contend.
Yeah. When the Warriors are done with their
when the Warriors are done dominating their dynasty,
it's going to be like 2023 or whatever.
Yeah. And,
and start thinking about other teams.
Ball was a good pickup for the Lakers, I think.
So we're just doing that 20 minutes now already. This is like
we can't actually do it now. But I'm just saying.
All right.
In terms of your suggestion that we stop at some point soon, probably.
Let's stop now.
We can decide whether Bram wants to edit all this out. But I mean, listen, if you are still listening, we really thank you for tuning in for an hour and 20 minutes of rambling about the draft. This was actually really fun, and it was fun. I would love to do this again next year if we're still doing this. Yeah. We really ought to do more podcasts like live while watching things. it's entertaining.
We should actually do it during the regular season.
Yeah.
There's some games, you know, that no one wants to recap.
Random Tuesday game against the Timberwolves or whatever. We should not only do it live, but we should actually like stream it live on Facebook we'd have to do some technology stuff where like all three of us are on camera, but it would be like a funny random, like, hey, come hang out with us. This game means nothing and we don't care about it, but we're going to watch it.
We're watching the second half together and exactly. Brem's opening another cider. It's happening again.
Tabaco's great.
All right. That sounds great. We should definitely do that. Thank you for everybody who's still listening and enjoying this draft. As Nate said, we'll try to do a wrap up soon. Of course, you could check Nate out at Nate Parham. Nate_SBN. That's what it is, right? Nate P_SBN.
Nate P underscore SBN.
I'm not reading anything anymore. So
it's okay. There's no Twitter. Fire tweets there, so it's okay.
The fire tweets are all coming from at Bram Kinchelo.
This is very true.
At Ivan BE.
No, the fire tweets are all coming from at Unstoppable Baby.
That's true.
I saved the most fire of the tweets. All right, so just real quick before you sign up, did you guys see that tweet that I shut down Fear the Sword yesterday, by the way?
No.
So they were complaining. So Ryan quote tweeted our article that was about, the Warriors blew another 3-1 meme.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, quote, thou doth complain too much. And I quote tweeted him and I said, shut your mouth and go watch your team implode. And it made me feel happy.
Oh, you know, whatever brings you pleasure.
Yeah. It brings me so much pleasure. Yeah. So anyways, the fire tweets are coming from at Unstoppable Baby usually. And then the stuff that I can't actually tweet from Unstoppable Baby, is coming from my own personal account, which is at Bram Kinchelo.
Thank you for clearing that up. And we should also talk about that, the Cavs implosion, because it's kind of maybe a thing. I don't know. Maybe it's not a thing, but I'm certainly enjoying it. So
me too.
It's good for me something. Awesome. Thanks for listening to Golden State of Mindcast, and we will talk to you soon.
Peace.